It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
When I did my physical for the Maple Leafs, Brian McCabe was right behind me at each station. After the dentist one, he handed me a toothbrush and he goes, "The last guy told me to give you this."
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, guys, we got a problem here. Your guy is not in his chair. Out.
As of right now, he's not our guy, and you're our guy.
And it's as of right now, because I saw the tweet. I mean, looking you put it out host. There.
Scotty, let's just put it this way. Have a good week, and you don't go anywhere.
Have a good week.
That is my take on it.
Let's use a baseball analogy.
You're Mitch Marner right now.
Who was
you've got
the
to
first
make an impression.
Was it Cal Ripken who went in for somebody and never came out?
Well, it was Lou Gehrig for Wally Pipp, if you want to go way back.
So Wally Pipp got hurt or something, Lou Gehrig went in?
Wally Pipp had the flu. Skip, I can't go today.
Can't go.
A guy named Lou.
Went in and never looked back.
Never looked back.
But I thought Cal Ripken had something like that, too.
He beat Lou Gehrig's streak.
Okay.
So Lou Gehrig played 2,000 whatever consecutive games, and then Cal Ripken Jr. beat him in the mid-90s.
So what we're saying is if you have a good week and, you know, you never know.
So if I have a good week, you two become my path to retirement.
I don't know.
I can make good money. I can keep a job. I can do this for 15, 20 more years.
Are you saying
ride
the
your
other
coattails.
Show you do for free or something?
Because I like the Scotty Mac show. So what it could be is just...
That's the backhanded compliment. Get him the hell out of here.
No,
punt
no,
him
no.
back to one. I'm
what I'm saying is we like the Scotty Mac show, but what if they go, you know what, Brian? Scotty Mac's got really good chemistry with Jamie and O-Dog. Brian, why don't we go back to the Brian Hayes show?
We discussed this. We should have had like a fake meeting with Jeff McDonald and Hayes when he came back saying, look, they just had a great week. We're thinking about putting you somewhere else. And
well, no, but Brian, well, what go back to the Brian Hayes show.
Do you honestly think Brian's listening right now? Through his drool. Do you think he's comprehending what we're saying?
You remember the movie Gift Shorty?
Yeah.
When the producer gets like shot and his jaw broken and everything, and he's at the meeting and he's trying to talk. It's my meeting, and he shows up.
Yeah.
I picture Hayes like that. Like he's on the couch struggling because he's banged up. And let's be honest, we all feel for him. But he wants to be here. The Leafs had a great weekend. His boy had a great weekend. Although Saturday Night Glory turned into Sunday Night Frustration with Green Bay having a situation going on.
Green Bay, like, what do you do with that team? Like, Aaron Rodgers, like, there's almost an argument where he might be, like, the most important guy for his team.
I also think he's the best player in the league. I really do.
Yeah, no, but what do you do now? Do you just say, you know what? Like, should we just tank this thing right into the ground?
And I was at the gym this morning.
Yeah.
So at the gym, you can watch TV, but you don't get the sound. The look on the coach's face... Like, I didn't even hear what he was saying, but the look on his face was I've got a dead body.
I don't know this. You might be able to comment more because we're not football guys, but I'm pretty sure that McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers are they have a pretty good bond.
They're bros. Yeah.
Yes.
They count on each other. McCarthy on Rodgers more than the other way.
McCarthy looked somebody had shot his dog. Right in front of him.
I saw a similar look. This is not even funny, but.
Right.
He was having a coffee in the lounge one morning, and I was like, man, you look tough today. And he's like, I backed up and went to practice, and I ran over our family dog, and my kids saw it. And I was like,
well, that's terrible.
That's the same look.
That's the same look he had?
But I never saw a goal. He was a goalie, too. He had the worst, and he should have. Like, it was an awful thing, but that was the same look.
Brett.
I don't know why I just told that.
No,
I don't know why.
It was an awful.
I'm not.
A dog
like, I'm
is
not
dead.
Laughing.
I'm not either. It's an awful story to tell.
It's an awful story, but it's one
kind
of those
downer.
Ones where you're like, would somebody shoot your dog? Well, no, the guy ran it over. It's even worse.
He did it. He ran over the dog.
That would be awful.
Yeah.
But that's how McCarthy looked. Like without throwing any other stories out there, like the look on his face where you're saying Aaron Rodgers could be out the rest of the year, like Green Bay fans are just like, that's it. Done for the year. Like, we're done. Like, is that the mentality in Green Bay?
I think so, yeah. And it's weird because we're doing these parallels. Like, Hayes is the president of Packer Nation, at least in Canada.
Yeah.
Right? And he had to decide.
Joe Bowen, too.
Joe Bowen is big. Tyler Hunt is a big-time Packers fan. They're everywhere. I mean, all these Packers fans are everywhere. They're
like
literally...
Like, Moles, too? Moles. Also, like... I bet you could trade him a whiskey and he would switch teams. Like a bottle of Jack and you could go to New England, maybe.
No guy.
Really?
You can't buy...
Loyalty
like
that.
Can't buy his fandom. So like Hayes had a choice between knee surgeries, right? Yeah. The more complicated one, which he had, which comes with the tougher rehab, or the less complicated one, which means you're bone on bone through your 30s and 40s all the way to a knee replacement. Now it's, is Aaron Rodgers going to get prescribed rest and rehab, which would be 6 to 8 weeks and maybe gets him back this season, or is he going to need the surgery on his collarbone that ends it? And if it ends it, Green Bay is going to learn something, guys, that they haven't had to know since before 1992. What life is like without an elite quarterback? Because they went from Favre to Rodgers. And there were 3 years where the two crossed over, and Rodgers was his understudy, was his backup.
So for 25 years or more, you've had arguably two of the best quarterbacks on the planet.
Yes.
Do you want to just cold call this lazy pig on his bed and see what he's doing?
Because I think if
just we call him. Who cares? Yeah. If he answers, great. If not, who cares?
See how he's doing.
Well, we'll talk to him about our new show.
Yeah. We should get Jeff McDonald set up at the fourth microphone here, too.
Maybe in the O-desk. And he could give a yes guy, no guy. But I don't know. I think when you're looking at it, Aaron Rodgers, I was watching the NFL yesterday and I was like, I felt bad because the injuries have been prevalent. Like last weekend,
J.J. Watt went down. Like Delvin Cook's gone from Minnesota, their big running back.
It's
Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham was the name I was searching for.
That's why I'll never pick a football game. Sometimes I just out of the blue we'll pick a game and be like, I'm going to bet $5,000 on that game. Because this is just a no-brainer. Like Denver versus Giants, I would have just looked at that and been like...
You would have stayed away? Or you would have been on Denver?
I would have been like, all the receivers are gone. I'm going to bet Denver hard.
Sure.
I don't care what the spread
is. And they're
at
home.
Yeah, they'll kill them. And the Giants go in there and they win the game. It's like, that's not normal.
But you came up with the segment last Friday, about suck or not suck. Who sucks? I don't know who sucks and who's good in the NFL. Yeah. The Atlanta Falcons just lost at home to Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler doesn't suck.
Jay Cutler does not suck.
Atlanta sucks.
Atlanta sucks. Jay Cutler sucked for the first half.
Wait.
But stormed back.
Wait until Mow Your Lawn
Monday. Are you calling this guy? Can he talk to us or no?
Wait until Mow Your Lawn Monday comes up.
Oh.
Could Jay Cutler's name make the mix? He's such an arrogant ass, but he had a game.
Miami's over 500. And
led by Jay Cutler.
The New York Giants, at least today, don't suck.
They suck, but they didn't suck yesterday.
Right.
Don LaGreco is probably very excited today.
Yeah, he's a very happy guy in New York City.
He's not going to be yelling about Joe Plisarczyk.
Right. He's not
the Joe Plisarczyk theorem. You're dead.
He's not going to be yelling about that today.
Joe Plisarczyk.
We've got to actually cool our jets on it. I went and started to figure out what this Plisarczyk's all about. He's got some stuff going on in his life. We may not be celebrating him that much, but...
He's a bad actor?
No, he's...
Well, okay, we're not getting... If he's in trouble, I don't...
Yeah, it's in trouble. Like, there's some allegations, put it that way, that he has to deal with. So
right.
We may have to back off on
celebrating. Joe Plisarczyk is dead.
It is. He is dead. But anyways, Hayes, I think Saturday night would have been pretty happy with the outcome. His boy was very, very good, Austin Matthews.
It was unbelievable. You look at that game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Leafs played very well for parts of it, or maybe it was more a credit to Montreal. I mean, they looked structured.
I think Montreal actually played very well.
Yeah, they had to come out and have a game. I think they were under the gun, and they were like, we're not going to embarrass ourselves.
It's Saturday night. It's at home. It's the Maple Leafs. They lost four nights prior against Chicago and hadn't played.
Yeah.
Lot to think about. And the Leafs, I mean, the Leafs' calling card is speed through the neutral zone, right? Yeah. I thought Montreal did a great job of clogging that up. But Noodles, O-Dog, for the first time in my life, and I include Sundin in this because, yeah. I mean, for me, he's my favorite Leaf of my lifetime, and he was an unbelievable player. But you can take a night where the outcome is in doubt, and you throw Austin Matthews out there on the ice, and in the snap of a thumb, he can break a game. I mean, yeah. Which goal did you like better? They were both unbelievable, and they might not even rank as his best goal of the season, and we're only five games in.
Yeah, one thing he does is, like, he brings a lot to the table. He's got size, he can move his feet, but
yeah.
It's just the one thing he does that it's like some of the shots he takes on net, and Jamie, you played with Brett Hull, right?
Yeah.
He sat there and watched this, or was in the net.
Experienced it, yeah.
Some of the shots that aren't even that great, they end up in the net. And that's just a God-given thing where it's just a guy has... They talk about it like the quote, nose for the net, or they know... Because I've played with guys so talented, but you would put them in alone, they could never score a goal. But some guys just have that ability. If this thing is going on net from a certain distance, it's going in the net. And he's starting to prove that he is a gifted, natural goal scorer.
What stands out for me... Now, I played with Chris Pronger, who I think had one of the best sticks I've ever seen. And what I mean, not slashing and being mean, but batting pucks out of the air, plays. Like, just, I don't know how many one-on-one battles or one-on-one plays where a guy, in the old days, we'll call it, used to try and chip pucks past Pronger to get in the zone. He would just bat it out of the air, they go the other way. Like, I haven't seen a guy since Pronger. Now, I'm not going to get crazy on this, but there are guys who are great in the league at touching pucks around the net. Sidney Crosby's great. But Matthews does, it seems like every time he's around the puck, even if it's in the air, he can touch it, which is such a, it's just another tool in his toolbox that is unique. So that was a nothing goal, the first goal he scores. He chips it to himself, great, for speed, no problem. It ends up getting away from him. Jordy Benn pops it towards the boards because the defenseman's just going to pop it out to space. Most players wouldn't be able to bat that out of the air. He bats it out of the air and in stride, settles it down, then changes the angle, then shoots it on Price. Catches Price. If you actually look at Price's foot positioning, he's turned and he's surprised a little bit and because of the release is quick. So, you had a great release. I've seen, Hull, a lot of these guys have that release.
The president of the Maple Leafs taught me how to shoot the puck in the NHL. He was like, look, I don't even know if he talked to Austin Matthews or helped him, but he's like, the only thing that you have to work on is the amount of time in which you get it away. You get it on your stick, off your stick. And as soon as you start doing that, you'd be amazed how many goals you score. Because if you want to cradle it and go back and forth, the goalie gets time to set up, and he's going to save it every time.
Well, and it's interesting.
Quick release. That's how you score goals.
If you look at a lot, if you went back on Austin's 40 goals last year, how many times the goalie looked surprised? Even his first goal in the NHL, Craig Anderson. It's a bad angle. Yeah, the whole play leading up to it was amazing. But if you actually look at it from a goaltender standpoint, that first goal that Matthew scores was a bad goal from Craig Anderson's standpoint. Not taking anything away from Austin, but Anderson had to be better on that play. Well, why wasn't he? Because if you probably talked to Craig Anderson in a candid moment, he thought he would probably tell you that he wasn't set for it because the way that Matthews was moving and shot it in stride and picked the corner. So it's a great thing for Austin. It's a bad thing for goaltenders because now in your mind you're not going to be able to get set with him. You have to expect the unexpected when it comes to Matthews. So the game-winning goal, same thing. Saucer play, nice play by William Nylander, but a lot of other players aren't going to be able to knock that down. And it's not even settle it down, but take it from stick into front in front of you and get that release. Now, Price stumbles coming across. Doesn't matter. He still is able to beat an elite goaltender.
It's his talent.
He's not
just trapping the puck and ripping it home right away. And by the way, if that didn't go in the Montreal net, It was probably going in Toronto's net because those two guys were gassed.
Right.
And that was their
end of the shift.
That was their last play. And if it had to go back the other way, they were done. So, right. But that's what great players do. They just make something happen, and it was an unbelievable play.
And you figure two noodles, like a guy like Matthews coming down the ice. I still go back to the overtime winner against Chicago last week over Forsberg's shoulder. I mean, you're watching that on TV. You don't see puck leave stick.
Right. The release.
And you don't know puck is in net until Gord Miller says so. He shoots, right. He scores.
Yeah.
I mean,
quickness of the release. That was a perfectly placed shot where a goaltender can't get to. If you're going to play a percentage on that shot because you're going to try and take away the lower part of the net and be big, the only place that's really exposed on a goaltender that's playing upright and down is by the ears. And he placed it right by the ear. It was a perfect shot, like a perfectly placed shot. You want to nitpick. I would go on the other side, on the goalie side, and you start to nitpick at patience and all sorts of, technical stuff. But sometimes you have to just give credit to the shooter. And Matthews has had a couple shots here this year that have show no signs of him slowing down. But it's kind of that elite goal scoring that is only reserved for, 10, 12 guys in the league. That guys, they get opportunity. They either create it or they make it themselves. And like Ovi's a guy, Laine's a guy that we're starting to see it. He hasn't proven it enough.
That Laine had a shot the other day that was just on a stick and just.
But they're special guys, and it's nice to see the league's full of them. But now, young guys that are the next generational talents. And so it was a. I got to be honest. Montreal, the game Saturday night wasn't as entertaining as I had hoped it to be because it's not as physical. Like, that's the thing, like, there's a lot of skating, but there's a lot of missed passes and a lot of turnover plays. And, yeah, I know it wasn't a parade to the penalty box, but I just, when there's one hit or two hits, like, there was a play where Shea Weber closed on Matthews in the corner and gave him, like, a forearm, and Matthews kind of went against the boards. And there was not much physicality in that game where you usually see those rivalries, and the rivalries have some bitterness. There wasn't a lot of bitterness, like chippiness, where I kind of wanted that a little bit. It was a good game, but I don't know. The flow of it was a little bit disrupted for me.
All right. We got a jam-packed hour. We've got one special guest for sure, Dougie Gilmore. He's got a new book.
Killer, yeah.
It's coming up at 4:30. Is he the best friend of the show? There are many friends of the show.
He's our favorite.
The best friend of the show. So Dougie Gilmore in about 12 minutes time at 4:30. And if we're lucky, another special guest quickly coming up on the other side.
Well, we got to try to see if we can talk to this guy for a few minutes before Dougie Gilmore.
All right. We'll do that. Overdrive continues in a moment. TSN 1050 and the TSN Go app.
Talk to Lieutenant Dan or what?
This is the thing. You got Packers Central back there, so Tyler's on the phone with the head of Canada's Packer Nation.
Tyler makes Steph look like Charlie Hustle.
Like Pete Rose. And half the time you look back there and who knows what Steph was doing, sleeping.
Yeah.
So,
well, Steph's on mat leave.
Sports horn to Steph to Tyler.
With Steph on mat leave, is she Charlie hustling at home? Is she on Bet365 all day?
She's
Betsky.
She's enjoying a Netflix. I'll tell you that.
All right,
lady.
He's our special guest.
Best guest.
Well, Dougie's coming up in 5 minutes, so we got to rank our guests for the first hour of the show.
Dougie's our best guest.
Why, who are we talking about?
Brian Hayes is on the phone right now. The head of Packers Nation the phone.
Hazy B, you there?
Oh yeah, I'm here.
Wow. Are you okay, buddy, or what's the status?
You got Dougie coming up?
Yeah, we got Dougie.
Yeah, keep it short. Don't be long-winded.
I feel like Dougie felt the day he had 6 points.
Pea soup, eh? Pea soup.
Yeah, I could use some pea soup and a tuna Sandy, but it's just driving me nuts, man. I'm laying on the couch. I've been on my ass for 3 days. I can't move. I'm in so much pain.
And let me guess, your wife hates your guts.
No, she's actually playing it pretty cool, but she's going back to work tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
So she knows she's only got to get through, you know, like another 12, 15 hours, and then she's home free. She's gone.
Yeah.
So God knows what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. I can't move. I'm in so much pain. And
so does she bring you breakfast on a tray tomorrow morning and then, like, cans of tuna and salmon to get you through the day while you're home alone or what?
Yeah, I don't really know. To be honest, I'm not sure what we're going to do. She's been home this whole time, so I haven't really had to worry about it.
I'm thinking, you know what? I've got an idea. What is it, Uber Eats or something? So you can leave the door open and the guy can just bring it right to you on the couch.
That's a great call. Yeah, I might have to order.
Hide the valuables.
Yeah, you can make comments and say, just don't even ring the doorbell. Come in and turn left and go right. I'm on the couch right there. Drop it off. You prepay, you add your tip, and away the guy goes.
The problem is if that guy rolls in and he decides, you know what, this career isn't for me, and he just robs my whole house, like, there's nothing I could do about it.
That's true.
Like, you see those memes all the time, like the hungover guy who tells the Domino's delivery guy to just bring it to his bed. At least the hungover guy could get up and, like, chase him around. He started doing something stupid. If this guy walked in and was like, you know what, I'll take the 60-inch off the wall, I'll take the iPads, I wouldn't be able to do anything. I just witnessed thievery in my own house. So I don't know. I'm a little bit reluctant to do that, but I'll figure it out. I was hoping to get back. I mean, I was talking like a hero on Thursday. We put up the poll. We were talking about which surgery I should get, how quickly I can return. And
listen,
at this rate, I'm not even close.
You're good.
Well, Brian, what's kind of on your brain a little bit more? Auston Matthews' ability to score some big goals, the Leafs off to the hot start, or your boy Aaron Rodgers, dunzo for the year?
Well, it's got to be the Packers, right? I mean, the Leafs, Matthews is healthy. I'm not that surprised he's doing this. I mean, the kid's a stud, right? Like, he's a top 10 player in the league. We knew that. It was a big win over the weekend. I didn't think it was, like, the greatest game or most thoroughly entertaining game where they played their best game, but they still won.
Right.
But with Rodgers out, I mean, the Packers are toast. Like, they are toast. This Brett Hundley, he doesn't have a shot. I don't care what McCarthy's going to say about first-team reps all week, who they have left on the schedule, if they've got a couple of soft games here or there. I mean, they have to pray they can get to 8-8 and somehow the division falls apart. But I don't see that happening. I mean, I think they're probably done. If he doesn't come back, it's over.
The look on McCarthy's face in his presser, I don't know, did you see it?
Yeah. Oh,
he had the same look.
Dude, he knows it's done. Like, now this is the thing. Now everything's on the coach. Like, now he's got to come up with schemes to find a way to win games, because that's not a market that's just going to,
dude,
you know,
it's not on the coach
flag.
Now, Brian. When you lose a player like that who is probably the most important to his team, the coach has got a free pass the rest of the year.
Well, see, but that's one way of looking at it. But the other way of looking at it is, who knows what the hell he's been doing for 10 years because he's got Rodgers.
Rodgers
guaranteed him wins.
I agree. I think you go into his office, there's like buckets of KFC, and he's watching Netflix and on the computer the
and
whole
browsers.
Time and just goes,
oh, totally.
Get out there, Aaron. Go out and throw some TDs.
Give the ball to 12. Like, you're guaranteed to go to the playoffs every year. Now he doesn't have them, and now he's actually got a coach. He's got a scheme. He's got to find a way to work out a running game, and the defense has got to be better, and guys on the defensive side of the ball are dropping like flies too. I mean, they're 4-2. They're in trouble though. I mean, that division's pretty good. The Vikings are pretty good. I think the Lions can probably still get to 9 or 10 wins. So, I mean, as happy as I was watching the Leafs break that streak and Matthews went legend on Saturday night, I mean, that story is more predictable. This one came out of left field. The Packers are toast.
This has been our NFL insider, Brian Hayes, on the Scotty Mack Show.
Oh.
And we'll talk to you maybe next week if you're lucky.
You guys call me whenever you want, man. I'm just laying. I'm freaking out. Like, I've got nothing to do. I'm going stir crazy.
Yeah. Well,
I want to talk about Marner and Dreisaitl and the Leafs Habs and Rodgers and Kaepernick. I mean, there's so much going on. But
well, yeah, just like when Goose threw Mavericks keys into the water, we have to move on without you, pal. And this is
That's
the Scotty
right,
Mack Show.
All right,
and we
boys.
Might call you next week.
All right.
You guys go legend. Keep it on the rails for me.
All right, Hazy, I'll do my best. The paperwork
right,
is
please.
Being done
yeah.
in
yeah.
Jeff McDonald's office right now.
Start getting yeah. used to a different time slot, pal. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll chat then.
All right, Hazy. Dougie Gilmore.
Yeah.
So we just keep going up the pecking order here from Brian yes. Hayes to Doug Gilmore. best friend of the show, with a book to pimp. He's coming up on the other side. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and the TSN Go app.
Hazy B seems down in the dumps.
Maybe this will pick him up. Pick up his spirits. Drooling on the couch. Lying there listening to the mighty 1050. Let's get right to it. Best friend of the show.
Yes, legend.
And the author of a new book called Killer, My Life in Hockey, which is in stores Tuesday, which would be tomorrow.
Yes.
We're expecting Dougie Gilmore to join us on the phone line. Just a moment here. Tyler's panicking. He was there and now he's not. So
it's all good.
We'll get it. Dougie Gilmore coming up as we recover off of the Brian Hayes interview. Talking about that Leafs game the other night, boys. Big win in Montreal. You say on the entertainment factor it was kind of one of those things.
Listen, early on in the season,
that's a Claude Julien type game, though, from the Montreal Canadiens,
it
right?
It is, but even from Montreal's aspect, I know early in the season systems aren't super tight. There's missed assignments, but I'd like to see two or three more passes connect with speed. What happens in today's game? The game is so fast. We were taught 10, 15 years ago, if a pass was behind you, you stop on the play. You stop on the puck and then you get going. Now, in today's game, if a pass is behind a guy, the guy just goes for a skate because they want to keep their speed up. So if there's missed plays, it's just so many turnovers. And the flow keeps going, but it's scrambling. And to me, that's kind of what it is right now. And as you see by American Thanksgiving, by Christmas, by March, when things are really tight, the games will be tighter, but guys are more in a groove. I thought Saturday night had a lot of scramble to it.
Guy just tweeted in saying, Overdrive with Scotty Mac, Noodles, and the Yo-Dog has a nice ring to it.
Ooh.
See, I got the easy nickname, right? This is one of the big things with AZ. We can't find him a nickname.
Can we change our Twitter account to the Scotty Mac Show with the check mark?
Give me a blue check mark. That's how you know you've made it in life. The blue check mark. All right, we'll double back to the Leafs and Habs on Saturday night in just a little bit. But now it's time to welcome best friend of the show and the author of the new book, Killer, My Life in Hockey, which is in stores tomorrow, the one, the only, Doug Gilmore. Dougie, how are you?
Is there an issue with the host?
Yes.
He mailed it in, buddy.
What?
Do you know the story?
Oh, let's ask. Hang on a sec. Killer, you tried to, I think when your career ended in Toronto or something, you like tried to skate around on a bum knee, didn't you? And they said, no, you can't do it. And this guy can't even do a radio show.
I had surgery when Sarge was going on, and then I came home and I made dinner that night. Like, that was ACL. What's going on with that guy?
Well, he's weak, man.
He's down.
He's down, and he can't do it. He can't battle through it.
You know what he needs? Some pea soup and a tuna fish sandwich.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably it. He'll be up in no time at all.
Exactly.
So tell us about the new book.
Yeah, it's about a year and a half, guys. I've been kind of working on it, and I think when you get inside the book, and I dedicated it to my parents, and I didn't want to do a book, but at the end of the day, after my dad passed on 5 years ago, I said, yeah, I'm going to start working on it. So I did, and I lost my mom on the 5th of October here, so I'm glad I did it now. So it's been a great, it's been kind of great reminiscing with it, because there's a lot of stories in there that I've kind of forgot about, obviously. It was a lot of fun.
Killer, is there any stories where, and Jamie, you could probably weigh in on this too, because you had a book a few years back.
Yeah.
where a few people's names are changed to, like, Bob?
To protect the innocent?
Or is it all pretty clean and normal stuff?
It's pretty calm. It's about me. This kind of stupid stuff I did, and just a little bit of fun along the way. But it's more growing up in Kingston, guys, and junior hockey, or tier two first, and junior, and then obviously the teams I played with, and just trying to tell some stories about kind of how I got there, and again the support that my parents gave me.
Yeah, that was the one thing that when I did my book, it's. I wanted to have some fun with it and tell some stories from behind the curtain, kind of allow a fan to come in and see some personality, but also kind of see a mindset, like what you were thinking during either big games or moments in your career. Is there one story you can share from the book, or maybe one chapter or that kind of hit home for you?
Well, my sister was 11 years old, Donna. I was 10 years old. And we decided to walk on Lake Ontario beside some big ships one day, and my sister went under, and she popped back up, and thank goodness I was about 50 pounds. And then my friend, that teammate, that we didn't go down, and we pulled her out, and we got her comfortable, we put her jackets on her, got her back into the rink, the Royal Military College, where the tournament was, and my parents looked at her and said, okay, what happened? We said that we threw her in a puddle and rolled her around in the snow. And we didn't tell my parents until the day she was married what happened. So we kind of hid that for a long time. But that was, since that time, I didn't go on ice as far as lakes. I live on one, and I wouldn't go on it. It was just, I was petrified. So it was just something that my sister brought it up. Yeah, when she was getting interviewed in the book, and I forgot all about it, but it was kind of a scary thing. So,
with Dougie Gilmore, who is the author of the new book, Killer, My Life in Hockey, it's in stores tomorrow. Dougie, I mean, 92-93 still stands out for any Leafs fan, like me, who is old enough to remember it, but what stands out for you about that time, and maybe not necessarily that season, but even going back just a bit further to the time you were part of that massive 10-player trade?
That story's in the book, kind of how it unfolded and how I got traded and why I was getting traded through arbitration, etc. And then getting to Toronto, like Rick Walmsley called me and he goes, "You get traded?" I said, "Yeah." "Where'd you go?" I said, "I don't know." And he goes, "I don't either." And then we kind of figured it out about, I don't know, 20 minutes later. The phone call I got was, "You've been traded. We'll get back to you." So, again, I didn't know where I was going. And behind the scenes, I kind of knew that Toronto was interested, and the other team was Hartford, and that was Pat Verbeek, one for one. So, again, it happened, and I guess kind of just like O-Dog when you came here, it's just something unique, and the opportunity to put the jersey on and play, and I know O-Dog, you're playing for your brother too, and it's something that you never forget. And same kind of thing, that playoff in 93, my grandfather passed away, and I Bernsie would not let me go to the funeral. We were in Collingwood, and he said, no, your grandfather wants you here. So I had my mom and dad pack up my grandfather's T-shirts, and I wanted like four or five of them. I wore them every game in the playoffs.
That's cool.
Your second time in Toronto, right at the end of your career, and you blow out your knee. I think it was in Calgary, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so you guys are out on the Western Canadian swing. You don't even get an opportunity to come back home in the home jersey, play in front of the crowd one more time. Was that something you were able to get over pretty easily, or did that linger with you for a while? Because, you know, any opportunity you get to go out on your own terms is special, especially with your return to Toronto.
And again, I believe we're in Montreal, meaning playing with Montreal, and we're about 4 points out of the playoffs, and we were on a long trip. We were California swing, then we were in Nashville, then we went to Florida. Pat Quinn called right at the deadline about, I don't know, 20 minutes before, and he goes, "You want to be a piece of this, and you'll probably be a third-line guy." And I said at that time, I said, "Yeah, 100%. And so I had to fly back from Florida to Montreal, Calgary, and I got in, and the next day, obviously injured my knee. And I never injured my knee like that before. So, you know, it was like a burn. It was like a Charlie horse almost. And I thought I could play, and I was walking down the hallway, and Chris Broadhurst, our trainer at the time, just said, you know, drag your toe. And I dragged my toe, and I went down, and I said, what's going on here? And he goes, you're done. And the good news out of all that, meaning I had a chance to play one, you know, one period anyways, one shift, and, you know, put the jersey back on for one last time. So that's the way I look at it, guys. It's, I can't go back to the past. So I have no regrets, and it's just it's the way it is, and it's something that, again, just very blessed to play a game for 20 years, and it happened, and I was working with Gary Roberts in the summertime to come back, and then, you know, I could have tried it, but at the same time, it's just like, you know, give it up. So it's time.
It's a must-read, Dougie, for any Leafs fan. Killer, My Life in Hockey. It's in stores tomorrow. Thanks so much for taking some time. Good luck with the book.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Dougie Gilmore. Goes Dougie Gilmore, Matt Sundin, Austin Matthews for any Leafs fan.
Yeah.
Of my vintage, for sure. I will come back on the other side. Mitch Marner to the fourth line. But Bab says, don't make too much of it, eh? We'll get into that next. This is Overdrive with Scotty Mack for Hayes. Noodles and the O-Dog, TSN 1050.
The Scotty Mack Show.
Yes, well, we'll hashtag it. TSN 1050, the TSN Go app. Scotty Mack in for Hayes.
No. This is the Scotty Mack Show.
Okay.
Overdrive's Scotty Mack.
Yeah. I am Scotty Mack of Overdrive. That's what you got to say.
Okay, all right. All right. The brainwashing continues. I got to get used to this.
We're all for it.
Maybe for at least the full week. The paperwork may make it more permanent. We'll see how it all plays out. Here's something that won't be permanent, guys. Mike Babcock talking about Mitch Marner on the fourth line.
Well, let's not read too much into this. Their line wasn't going. So Ty goes to the veteran. How's that? So he just happens to be the kid on the line. That's it.
So Mitchie's on the fourth line today, and I'm thinking to myself, well, it's a talking point, but JVR's not sliding down for Martin on the left side. Bozak's not sliding down for Moore or Fear.
Right.
Brown's the pliable guy, right? Shift him up. You can move Marner down if you don't like how things are going.
The whole objective here, and I had to do this a bunch of times when Paul Maurice, and you want to say to the coach, you want to walk in and say, why are you putting me on the fourth line? Because I can't play my best with these guys. But what it does, it forces you to work hard because you want to bust your ass out there and show the coach and show your teammates that you're not happy about. And generally it lasts a period because the guy is Charlie Hustle every shift, hardest working guy. And this is a message from Mike Babcock. It's one of those winning messages. We're winning, but you know what? You're not playing good enough. So don't think that we're going to keep going on like this. And you're not going to understand what you're doing out there. So go to the fourth line and see how you like it and be pissed off and hate everybody. And hopefully that brings out better play.
This guy
played with Daryl Sutter or for Daryl Sutter. He saw some things that were, and I talked about on Twitter today. I was like, Sergei Fedorov played defense. I couldn't imagine going in the coach's office and he said, you're going to play D tonight. I would have been like, actually, no, I'm not. Like, I'm going to go home.
But that's the thing. They play two games this week. And they're 4-1. So Mike Babcock has the luxury to press some buttons because he's not happy with their overall play, but behind closed doors, he's happy with their points. They've got 8 points. So they're in good shape that way. So now you can press some buttons. Mitch Marner, you haven't been your best. So you move him down in practice, give him a little wake-up call, get everyone talking about it. But I would be surprised by the end of next game if he's on that fourth line.
There was talk about Scotty Bowman, and I don't know if Mike got anything from him in Detroit, but when things are going well, that's when he's not exactly most fun to be around.
Yeah.
And when things get tough, they lay off a bit because guys know when things aren't going well, the last thing they want to do is go to the rink and deal with a you-know-what coach.
Yeah.
So sometimes when things are going good, you better beware because the coach is looking around for different things to say. You better not fall into a trap of thinking things are going too good for you right now because they're not.
Right.
That's where they can send their they can send their messages when things are going well.
Yeah, and it's the psychological game, and there are signs, guys, in the Leafs game that it won't continue to go this well. You're not going to take...
There are signs what they're doing, Scotty, where a few games could go down the road and the coach will say, you know what, back when we were winning, I told you about these habits and giving up these goals and the run-and-gun offense. They turn into 10-game losing streaks. And I told you about it and you never believed me because we kept getting goals and getting wins. But that's what that's what coaches think about. Mike's talked about it a lot of time. You got to be scared every day of the worst happening, and that's what they do.
Ray bailed, boys. No Ray today.
Wow.
Tim Kirkjian will be along at 5:30 That's to fine. Talk a little baseball playoffs, but no Ray.
Well, you know what? Ray and Hayes, I don't know. We're going to have to have a
it's
poll.
It's a mail-it-in fest.
We're going to have to.
Monday. We're going to talk about a poll in the 5 o'clock hour about Brian Hayes.
We're going to throw it out there in the break, but now's the time for the Leafs lineup contest. We're giving away tickets to see the Leafs and Kings 1 week from tonight at the ACC. So what you do, you listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. And on Friday, you call in with the names of all five players you've heard, and you could win two lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs and LA next Monday, October 23rd at the ACC. So this week's theme is former Leafs who played with Wayne Gretzky on the Kings. Today's Leafs lineup player is Yannick Perreault.
Wow.
Good face-off guy, right?
It was a big trade in O's tenure.
Yeah. Fergie, we have a trade to announce, gentlemen. Trying to make improvements, bringing in Yannick Perreault. Fergie, good job, bud.
The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com. We'll throw the poll question out there during the break. It's got to do with Hayes, Tim Kirkjian, to talk MLB playoffs at 5:30. So much more coming up. It's Scotty Mack's Overdrive.
Overdrive with Scotty Mack.
Overdrive with Scotty Mack.
And we're changing our Twitter handle if Tyler has any brains back there to figure it out.
All right. So look for the poll question with the new Twitter handle.
Yeah. We got a new show, a new Twitter, everything's new.
And I'll just steal lines. We'll chat next hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, the TSN Go app.